Welcome to the Crespo Dome.
Seriously?
It sounded good to me.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Joseph Cogbert. You get lesser applause. Oh no, it picks up there after a second.
Where the fuck is your tablet?
It's upstairs. Just trying to get the show started, buddy. You're here in time, and I didn't want to make you wait for me.
I want to strangle you to death with my bare hand.
Maybe spill my vodka water.
I don't care.
I want to strangle you. I was ready for Batman Ninja. I was ready for Batman Ninja.
So was I, but Just Stream or Just Watch, whatever that fucking stupid website is, lied to me, Chris.
JustWatch.com lied to us. It's not available for rental.
It's not available for rental, at least not anywhere. Well, I mean,
in America.
Yeah, I mean, I went to the Google Plays, and I was like, hey, I want to rent this. And the only option I had was to buy.
Gosh, who buys stuff? Especially digitally. I feel like I'm getting ripped off when I buy
Seriously.
Stuff.
And like, digitally. If I'm going to pay $20 for that, I want goddamn Blu-ray. I want the fucking artwork. Yeah. I want all the bullshit.
Although artwork, they don't come with artwork anymore now.
I know, it's so lame.
It's just a slip, and then you open up, and there's nothing inside.
It's just a disc. It's so lame.
I haven't bought a Criterion forever. I wonder if they released them still with, like, stuff occasionally with, like, booklets, and, like, yeah, I mean, I have my Videodrome has, like, a whole book inside, practically, and it's an interview with someone.
That's cool.
Let's talk about some movie news. How about this? How's the plan for this? We were going to review the Batman Ninja. We were going to watch Batman Ninja.
We were.
Ninja Batman?
Batman Ninja.
We were going to watch Batman Ninja. And then we were going to come right here to the studio and record a quick review of it and then do some movie news stories. But since we don't have that, we'll jump straight into movie news. And then
the price is too high, Chris.
And then what we're going to do is we're going to have a handful of movie news stories, and then we're going to finish the episode with a handful of stories related specifically to Avengers. And that's going to require a little bit of spoiler talk. So I'll be like, all right, Avengers talk time. And if people still don't want to hear the spoilers, they can stop the show. All right? Just to be fair. If I have, like, I have 1, 2, 3, at least 4 stories related to the Avengers. But first.
Drew.
But
first.
First.
So you're walking butt first?
When you're walking butt first. Yeah, so walking, I'm walking backwards.
And so instead of saying butt first, just say backwards.
Okay, so we're going to talk about Avengers later. Backwards. Johnny Depp.
That's going to confuse the hell out of people. I love it.
Especially when I cut out the whole part about you telling me what to do.
It's just...
And I also
it's even
out,
better.
Then I also cut out this part here.
It's even more fantastic. I like it, Chris. I like it a lot.
Johnny Depp, not having a good run last few years in terms of public image. Mm. Back in the 80s, he was apparently one of these young bad boys, rock star type dudes, trashing hotel rooms, getting drunk in public, that type
I mean,
of stuff.
Drugs will do that to you.
Drugs and alcohol will do that, especially when you're popular in 20. LA
and filthy rich.
LA in the 80s. I don't even think at that time necessarily filthy rich, but still, you don't have to but be still filthy. He had money and he was connected to people with a lot of money.
You don't have to be filthy rich. I mean, at his point in time, I'm pretty sure he was probably like the chicks in college that don't pay for drugs. Like, they do drugs.
Oh, sure.
Like, on the reg.
Yeah.
But they don't pay
Never
for
pay
it.
For him. Yeah, he was like that.
Guarantee you.
For sure, he was like that the night Joaquin Phoenix's brother died of an overdose in front of his club.
Yep.
He had his own club, the Viper Room, where famous people OD'd right. at.
Correct. I forgot about the Viper Room.
Yeah, so he's had a interesting troubled past. Mm-hmm. Seems like around the mid-90s, grew up a little bit, hit his 30s. I think that whole... Why am I River Phoenix? I think the whole River Phoenix thing kind of, you know, shook him a bit.
Probably.
Obviously, as it should have. Right. And he calmed down. Kind of went back just doing the work. Let the work speak for itself.
He probably still does a little bit of cocaine.
Just
never get the work done.
Just chipping in here and there. That's all. That's all it is. That's all it is. But essentially staying out of the limelight while he makes his movies, some receive more better than others. Pirates of the Caribbean puts him on a whole nother level that even he has never been on before in terms of money and celebrity and success.
Which is so dumb because the movies are so...
The first one's good. Let's not forget that the first one were zombie pirates.
I mean, yeah, the first time I saw zombie pirates, I was pretty, yeah.
Yeah, skeletons fighting underwater, and the first time we all saw Jack Sparrow was kind of a revelation. Like, holy shit, this is a really fun, cool character. And then we just got sick of it over the years, that's all. It's just, we've seen enough of Jack Sparrow.
Well, I mean, the second and the third ones were weird.
They were weird. Law of Diminishing Returns, for sure, on each story, 2, 3, and 4. 5, compared to 4, a bit of an upswing. But still not very good.
Well, at least with the 5, they had the saving grace of that giant practical scene.
Multiple ones.
Dragging
the building through the town.
Which seriously, the
guillotine,
I don't care,
spinning in circles.
Exactly. I don't care what you say about the movie, the plot, whatever, acting. It was all pretty much garbage. But that stuff in its own right deserves you watching a movie.
I think so. It had inspired Buster Keaton style set pieces. Yeah.
It was really...
They eschewed CGI in many places.
People don't do that shit anymore.
Not on that level.
No.
Not on that level. They took their $250 million budget and they're like, it's... on the screen.
The great thing about that is when people watch that again in 10 years, it's still going to look great.
It is going to hold up. And a lot of people will watch it and be like, oh wow, that's some good CG. And he'd be like,
No. Practical.
They slapped Johnny Depp to a board and swung him 360.
Yep.
And he was game that day to do it, which is actually, it was kind of his idea. Well, he helped push for it with the directors. Yeah. Like, let's do it. Let's go Buster Keaton. He wanted to do it, so that's why, but anyway. All that means that he's having some hard times, man. He had that very public... Well, first him and Amber Heard when they were together that short amount of time. They had that thing with the dogs in Australia. That was weird as fuck.
That was weird.
And then they got divorced. She left him. Lots of accusations of abuse, emotional and physical. It's like, it's bad.
That's usually the way it works, though. I mean, it is...
Well, sometimes amicable. Tatum, Dewan, amicable. Mm. Ferris Pratt, amicable. Mm. Even Pitt Jolie, sort of amicable. But then some, like, she was like, yeah, he was kind of hitting the weed and alcohol a little too much. And child services got called in. But then they're like, nah, everything's fine here. Anyway. This is all the Cinema Crest. This is Cinema Crest Video News, most important podcast segment in all podcasting, all of history, and all of entertainment. We don't have a Bieber update for you now. But when we're talking about them celebrity divorces, we mean business.
The Biebs is high on Jesus.
Which is kind of making him less fun these days.
Well, it's because Jesus is not a good drug.
No, he's not. I was talking about that blood of Jesus, in which case, tip that back. Give me a bottle of the blood of Jesus. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about that. Bujolais Villages.
Yes, the Beaujolais Villages.
No, Bujolais.
The Bujolais Villages? As opposed to the Beaujolais Village.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
It's French.
It's what?
French.
Now you're talking about J.R.R. Tolkien stuff. Get out of here. Making up languages. Just because someone made it up in a book. Actually,
That's actually exactly how it works, Chris.
That's exactly how it works.
Fun. Surprisingly enough.
Yeah. Okay, so Johnny Depp's having a hard time of it. This story is to say it's not getting better.
I don't care.
Hearing
that Johnny Depp is having a rough time.
I don't mean that he's having a rough time. I just mean his public image, publicity-wise. And this story plays into it.
Who the fuck cares?
People, who cares, Drew? Your average moviegoer kind of cares. When there's a lot of public negative stuff about a person... It seeps into the public conscience. And then when the Johnny Depp movie comes out that's not a franchise, they may be more likely to be like, nah, I don't want to see that Johnny Depp movie. Johnny Depp, I'm sick of Johnny Depp because everything I hear about him is bad, bad, bad. So then who cares then, Drew? Movie producers who are seeing Johnny Depp's dollar value going down.
But I mean, everybody, the whole Richard Gere with the gerbil thing in his butt, that has been an urban legend.
Here's the
forever.
Thing.
Forever!
Here's the thing, that's an urban legend. A, that's an urban legend.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, these are like Amber Heard making accusations. That's very real. The accusations are very real. The story that I'm about to tell here is a very real story.
People thought that shit was real, too.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. I just read it last week. Apparently, Sylvester Stallone and Richard Gere have had a feud for years, going back to the 70s. Rumored, yes, going back to a movie they did together.
What?
They did a movie together in the 70s, and Richard Gere...
Gere is sly.
Okay.
What?
It's going to take us
Richard
forever.
Gere seems like a really... He seems like a fairly decent guy.
You think so? Okay. It's going to take us forever to get through this Johnny Depp story.
Because now we're talking about Richard Gere.
Because now we're talking about Richard Gere and Sylvester Stallone. So, I can't remember which movie they did, but they did one movie together back in the late 70s. And at this point, even though they're both like movie stars, Stallone, his star was... I think his star has always been bigger than Richard Gere, actually.
Yeah, I mean...
Even back in the 70s. Because this is post-Rocky, but also I think around An Officer and a Gentleman.
I was about to say Richard Gere, An Officer and a Gentleman, and what's the one with the... I can't think of it right now.
Are you talking about the more Primal Fear?
No.
In the 90s? No. Or talking about Back in the Day?
Back in the Day.
I can't even think of his
Officer and Gentleman,
There's the one.
You know it. Well,
with Sam Shepard. Are we talking about the same one? I'm talking about the... anyway, look, here's... We're getting way too sidetracked. So they're in a movie together. This is the story, apparently. So Sylvester Stallone, he's sitting... It's a terrible weather.
And Richard Gere whips out his penis.
And he whips out his penis. And he whips him in his face. And someone's like, No, okay, here we go. Listen, this is still a funny story. No penis involved. It's still a funny story.
It gave Sly a stroke. That's why he talks that way.
No, the stroke is because of a birthing accident. Because he was coming out not proper. He was kind of a breech baby.
Talking about sidetracked, Chris.
So the doctors used forceps to grab his head and pull him out. And they fucking ripped his cheek. And they ripped nerves in his face. Which is why his lips are turned up like that. And you're going, that's a thing. Yeah. So it was a birthing accident. So he's in the movie with Richard Gere. We're going to work our way forward. This is all going to connect. He's working with Richard Gere. And Sylvester Stallone is sitting in the back of a car. It's cold out. The weather sucks. So he's sitting in the car to stay warm between takes. And already him and Gere sort of don't get along. Gere jumps into the car next to him. And he has a sandwich. It's like a messy sandwich. And Sylvester Stallone's wearing some nice clothes because of the 70s. And he's like, hey, don't eat that sandwich next to me, bro. You're going to make a mess. It's got like sauce on it. You're gonna get some shit on me. I just got these clothes. Gere's like, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. I need to eat the sandwich. Weather sucks. He starts eating the sandwich. Immediately, he gets a glob of grease right on Stallone's like shirt or his pants. He gets pissed off. And this is young Stallone, very prone to outbursts. He like pretty much hits Gere. He elbows him in the head, opens the car door, kicks him out of the car. And then Shark's like, I don't want this guy ever around me ever again. Gere and Stallone have not gone along ever since that day. Rumored, Stallone denies it, rumored, Stallone is the one who started the gerbil in the butt rumor on Richard Gere.
That's hilarious.
Rumor in the butt Richard Gere thing, different from what's actually happening with Johnny Depp. Factual things that are actually, he is not doing well. He's probably hitting the alcohol. He is hitting the alcohol again. Because when I saw the headline, I thought to myself, alcohol. And then the first line of the story says, alcohol.
So, well, I mean, he's in that new trailer for that,
Fantastic Beasts and the Crimes of Grindelwald.
Yeah, Grindelwald looks, he's an A.
He's the titular Grindelwald.
A, he's an old man, I look like shit makeup, but... Even so, I bet you he looks like shit underneath the makeup.
He does look like shit. Look at this picture from look at this picture and tell me you don't think alcohol immediately. I mean, that's a red carpet picture.
Oh, that poor bastard.
Right? He looks like older than his years, I think. Look at this one. This is this is from 2017.
Finally starting to catch up.
Look at him.
Yeah. See, okay.
He looks insane.
That is scary, Johnny Depp.
Yes.
When he tries to do like Sauvage commercial, Johnny Depp.
Yeah, he's like, I'm cool.
It's creepy.
I'm counting one, two, three, four, five, six, conservatively seven wrist accoutrements on both hands. You're trying way too hard. Anyway, Johnny Depp. Title story, article. This is from... What's WW? Wonder something? Women world? I don't know. Johnny Depp attacks crew member on movie set. Of course, it has to be the drinking. Okay. Right? This is according to Page Six. This is on the set of a movie called Labyrinth, but the L.A. and Labyrinth are capital L.A. as in Los Angeles, and it's a movie about the investigation of Tupac and Biggie's murders.
Okay.
He plays a detective, the lead detective.
Okay.
Multiple sources say on this set that he went off on a location manager after being told the scene had to wrap because the location permit had run out. I read the story ahead of time. Basically what happened, Johnny Depp got to direct a scene. He's not the director. The director's this dude, Brad Furman, who makes like middle-of-the-road movies. Like his best movie is Lincoln Lawyer. His other movies are The Runner. Remember that one with was that Ben Affleck and Justin Timberlake?
Oh God, yeah.
And The Infiltrator. Remember that last year or 2 years ago with Bryan Cranston?
Oh, that was very middle of the road. Yeah,
he makes very middle of the road movies. So prepare for a very middle of the road movie about the investigation of these.
I'm watching a very middle of the road TV show about it right now. So
yeah, exactly. Right. No one's talking about that. Yeah. Shit. The marketing wasn't good for it.
I watched like the first three episodes, and I don't think I'm going to finish.
It's just not good.
Yeah.
And there's too much stuff out there to waste your time on that's not even, like, blowing your tits off good, right?
I mean, I'm really interested in the story, but I just don't.
There'll be a better telling. This story, it's old enough now that people are really going to keep taking a lot of cracks at it. Anyway, so what had happened was location manager was like, yo, our permit to shut down this section of L.A. has run out. We can't continue shooting. Johnny Depp is shooting a scene involving two of his friends. He cast a friend as a homeless person and someone else, and he's directing the scene. And he's making a bigger deal of it than it needs to be. Problem is Johnny Depp. Mm-hmm. The director, Brad Furman, is the director, Brad Furman. You have to explain who he is.
Yeah.
Okay? So when the location manager goes to the director and says, we're running out of time. We're out of time. We need to stop. We need to finish for the day. He says, you tell that to Johnny Depp. So the location manager, who is, by all accounts, a very well-liked crew member.
A regular dude. Just a cool dude. Just doing his job. Yo, bro, we're done.
Funny you say just doing his job. So first he goes to Johnny Depp and says, excuse me, Mr. Depp, sir, we have to stop. We are legally out of time.
Yeah.
Johnny Depp is like, go fuck you. Drinking all day is the word.
Of course.
So he's out of his mind anyway. Location manager says, your word, Drew. Sir, I'm just doing my job. That makes Depp fly off the handle, inches from this guy's face. He's yelling at him, blah, 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 blah. Apparently, he punches the guy in the ribs, but it's a very weak punch that did not do anything. Everyone was like, boo, this man's punch. So he throws a blow at this guy, hits him in the ribs. He gets pulled away from the location manager, screaming, yelling, blah, 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 and that's the end of the set. So this is... this is Johnny Depp. Oh, apparently Johnny Depp also yells, I'll give you $100,000 to punch me right now. So that's weird.
That's cool. How about this? How about you pay me $1 million because you punched me right now?
Yeah, right? Right?
Straight, dude.
The other way around.
Seriously,
that's why he wanted, like, hit me, because I
Johnny
just
Johnny Depp,
you.
Please punch me in the face. I beg you.
So,
please punch me in the face so I can sue the shit out of you.
Statement from the director says, Johnny Depp is a consummate professional, a great collaborator, supporter of other artists. He always treats the crew and the people around him with the utmost respect. Movies can be stressful, and non-events often become exaggerated. So he says, we all love stories. There isn't one here. Other people say that this particular movie set for the movie Labyrinth is, quote, toxic. You've worked in toxic workplaces.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, completely. Like, the worst of all toxic worst places. Yeah.
Yeah, you know how it goes.
Yeah, it's fucking awful.
Just takes a couple people to be, like, in the worst attitude, worst mood, do the wrong things. It affects every single person in that workspace. Well, whether you're making a movie or whether you're making
dinner for 400 people.
Exactly what I was going to say. Yeah, did you ever see the John Woo movie, The Killer? Have you ever seen that one? It's a Chow Young Fat one from like 90, 91.
Maybe.
There's a girl who's blind, and he's like trying to take care of her. The final shootout is with him and a cop in a church.
I think I've seen it once, and then I think I caught the second, like one of the halves on TV or something.
Sure.
Again, and be like, oh yeah, I remember this.
Like on Sundance or IFC or some weird channel. It's one of those things where Quentin Tarantino had Samuel Jackson mention The Killer in Jackie Brown, and then its profile blows up in America. And but it is a badass. Like, film students have loved it since day one. Asian import. Chow Yun Fat.
Chow Yun Fat's Asian stuff is really good.
It's amazing, and it's during the peak of his powers.
Exactly.
And John Woo's pretty much the peak of his powers.
You see the thing? It's a shame we got Chow Yun Fat so late in his career.
But we do have information. We can go back and watch his Chinese stuff.
I mean, yeah.
I would recommend that people check out John Woo's The Killer, which is this. And Hard Boiled, which is his detective movie. Mm. That one opens with a crazy shootout.
I've seen that one too.
You've definitely seen that because I had that one on DVD.
I think because you said John Woo, and I've seen a lot of John Woo stuff.
Yes, imagine lots of two-fisting, gunplay, people sliding around, lots of doves, lots of birds.
Yes, yeah, it's very late 90s.
Man, if you just go to YouTube and Google, I'm sure if you do a search on YouTube,
just John Woo and doves.
John Woo and doves, you get a montage. Someone put together a montage. For sure. Just so many things. The internet has it all now. But just search for opening action scene hard boiled.
Yeah.
That your face will melt from so many No one loads a gun. Not a single gun gets reloaded.
No, but man, there are so many bullets.
So many bullets. Inspiration for my idea from college for an action movie called Millions and Millions of Bullets.
Yeah, yeah, they did. I mean, there were even, I'm pretty sure there was a video game that was very much like, you were playing a John Woo
movie. Yeah, well, for sure. Yeah, John Woo makes video game movies before they were video games and movies.
Exactly.
And he makes them better than anyone.
Yeah.
The Killer is one of the classic. Fantastic film.
It really is. It's just, and people with unlimited bullets just murdering the fuck out of each other.
Why do you think I'd be bringing up John Woo's The Killer?
Somebody's remaking it.
Yes.
Here in America.
Someone's remaking it.
And it's going to be lame.
You think so? Now, I actually have hope for this one for two reasons. Two reasons, Drew. First reason.
I mean, unless it's Lord Miller, I'm not interested.
Lord Miller can make any bad idea good. Yes. It's not Lord Miller.
So it's not going to be good.
Okay. First off. The person, but it does hinge on the person who is doing the remake, okay?
Okay.
The person remaking John Woo's The Killer is...
John Woo.
Thank you very much. I wish I had my clap YouTube video so up, because you're correct. John Woo is remaking his own movie 20, 30 years later, which I'm fine with.
Okay.
There's precedent for that.
I mean,
Michael Haneke remade Funny Games. Alfred Hitchcock remade like two or three of his own movies.
Chris, I don't need precedent. If a filmmaker wishes to remake his own movie, his prerogative.
Wants to revisit his material?
It's his fucking movie. He can do what he wants.
He's got himself a lead to replace Chow Yun-Fat. How do you replace the charisma of Chow Yun-Fat?
You find Chow somebody Yun-Fat with has charisma?
It. You find someone with it.
Yeah, who's got it? So who's got it that he picked?
Lupita Nyong'o. She's going to be your hired assassin.
Oh, this is going to be fun.
This is going to be John Woo. Yes, The Killer remake with Lupita Nyong'o. I am in.
Oh, this is going to be good.
I'm an unabashed fan of her. She's great.
Yeah.
She's wasted in Star Wars as that...
Completely.
Giant eyes alien thing.
Yeah, completely.
Completely wasted in that.
But well, and the only reason why I say she's completely wasted is, I mean, in retrospect,
It's a nothing character. And people don't know.
Well, no, exactly. Right? In retrospect, it will make sense because obviously she's going to be very successful in her career.
Yeah, I don't think she is technically, but you're right. She will become a household name.
So in retrospect, like, it'll make sense why she was picked in the movie.
Yeah.
But... waste of a voice talent because we're not familiar enough with her voice yet to recognize that it's her.
To be able to, appreciate, this is Lupita.
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, you just said it. I didn't even know.
I also enjoy saying her name.
I didn't even know.
You didn't even know Maz Kanata, whatever her name was?
I had no idea.
Butthole Eyes, as Doug Benson calls her. Mm-hmm.
I had no idea.
Man, she's good. She's good. Speaking of good. No, great. John Lithgow.
Yes.
Cast in the remake of, speaking of remakes, Pet Sematary. Mm-hmm. I'm fine with the remake of Pet Sematary. Original, not that good. It's an okay. It is what it is.
It's horror.
Yeah, it's a horror film.
Remaking horror.
All day, every day.
You can really only hope to elevate it.
Yes. There's such a small, like, the number of horror films that are untouchable, unassailable, less than five, and you would say, what, The Shining? But they already did. They did a TV version of The Shining in the 90s. So, no, that it's off the table. The Fly. No, The Fly itself is a remake. And has bad sequels off the table. So, I mean, it's horror.
Yeah.
So, Pet Sematary. It's probably going to be better. Fact of it having John Lithgow.
Yeah. Yeah, John Lithgow's in this one. So, it's automatically better.
John Lithgow is going to be the, for people who are familiar with the story, he's the neighbor character who tells the new family in town about the pet cemetery on the Native American burial ground that brings old pets back to life, but just a little fucked up.
On the Native American. Chris, the entire country is a Native American burial ground.
It is. That's why we're fucked up. That's why we're fucked up.
It's almost as if.
It's almost as if we're all haunted. Jason Clarke, the Australian actor Jason Clarke. What was he last in? I think I can think of Big Thing, John Connor in the Terminator. Anuses.
Oh, yeah. Chappaquiddick.
Yes, that is current. Thank you, Drew. He is Ted, Australian Ted Kennedy.
We're going to tell our version of the truth.
I was like Moses. Jason Clarke is the doctor, the father, the family who moves in, son dies, buries his son in the cemetery. Oh, shit, that's a bad idea. Mm-hmm. So here you go, remake.
Why are you burying your kid in a pet cemetery anyway?
Because that's the haunted one that the pets come back. So I want the kid to come back. Anyway. Solo. can't rely on MoviePass for this one. We're gonna have to get our tickets ahead of time.
Okay.
So because, and I didn't feel this in the air or on the internet or talking to people, but Solo breaking pre-sale records. Mm-hmm. It's selling ahead of Black Panther. It's breaking Black Panther set pre-sale records. So we're looking at an opening weekend tracking like 170 million. That's like Dark Knight numbers.
Chris.
That's Iron Man 3 numbers.
Chris, you know what this proves? This just proves you can tell any story you want about any character at all. And if you throw fucking Star Wars on it, it is gonna make so much money.
Well, okay, Solo is one of the most popular characters.
Still.
It's not like we're getting Binks, a Star Wars story.
No, but yes, it is Solo, but it's also, I mean, I love me some Donald Glover.
Okay.
Me personally, I don't know about the rest of the world.
Hey, it's funny you bring up.
This is America, Chris.
It's funny you bring that up. Glover.
Did you watch that shit?
No, I didn't.
No.
The SNL?
No.
Oh, the video?
The actual video.
The actual video? No, not yet. Man, it just dropped, man. Give me a minute.
When this is done, we're...
I'll watch it. Doing it. I'll watch it. No, I'll get
this,
on it.
When this is done.
Relax. I'll try to find my place here.
Anyway, and Alden Ehrenreich. No, people don't even know who the fuck Alden Ehrenreich is.
Ehrenreich isn't the selling point. I think after this, he'll become a selling point.
Oh, it's going to be fucking young.
On a national level, he's not the selling point. Glover.
And Chewbacca.
And Chewbacca is a bigger selling point than Solo. Glover, as Calrissian...
is murdering shit.
He's... like amongst the younger generations, millennials are. We're millennials.
I know.
We're millennials. Hey, we're millennials.
Shut up, Chris.
So amongst our set, Glover and Lando is. That's why they put out that trailer, because Star Wars knows and marketing knows. They're glomming on to Glover and Lando more than they are Ehrenreich and Solo and anything else in Star Wars. Like, that's the biggest selling point they have right now, and they're running with it.
Wow.
And it's going to be a huge part of this. Huge part of the success will be Glover and Lando. Do not discount, depending on how well this movie does.
A Lando movie?
A Lando movie.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, as long as it's still Donald Glover.
Oh, of course. That's a part of it. That's why it's working. What genius casting. You know who did that casting? Lord Miller.
Yeah. Well, they're fucking...
And then they fired him! But then they're going to reap the rewards off of their work.
Of course they will. Because everything they touch turns to gold.
I feel for these guys. I'm looking forward to their next movie. Now we should be getting a Lord Miller movie this summer. We're going to have to wait like another, maybe at least 2 years, because they're developing something now.
I mean,
the movies take a year and a half, 2 years to make. Unless you're Steven Spielberg and you're making The Post.
I'm kind of, like, I'm waiting for Lord Miller to do me wrong. So
exactly.
So we can get it over with, and we can get back to them doing me right.
Same thing with Denis Villeneuve. I'm waiting for him to shit the bed.
Yeah, because they all do it at least once.
Will Dune be it? I'm telling you, people say...
Oh, is Dune going to destroy two prominent directors?
Yeah, will Dune destroy Denis Villeneuve? I'm telling you now, I'm starting to read the book. And they're saying it's an unfilmable novel. I'm 20 pages in. It's filmable. I don't know what they're talking about. I've read the first 20 pages. I can make this. It's a perfect scene, the first 20 pages. It's compelling. I'm in. It's a movie. I don't know what people are talking about. Based on 20 pages of a 1,000-page novel. it's more like 800 pages and 200 pages of footnotes and annotations. I ain't reading that shit. No one reads that shit.
Chris, people said Watchmen was unfilmable, which blew my mind because it was literally in storyboard form in front of me.
Yeah.
I'm like, what do you mean this is... No, this is...
This is it.
Guys, no, you don't... You do understand that you just need a long-form storyboard, right?
Not only is it filmable, they made a movie, and the HBO series is being developed, so... Anyway.
Yeah.
Rambo 5 is coming. Do you know it's been 10 years since Rambo, Drew? It's been a decade since we saw Rambo in theaters, since we saw Rambo turn so many brown people into goo.
Well, yeah, because he's been doing the Expendables after that.
Yeah, he was doing a lot of Expendables. Three of them, plus other things. Well... Rambo, despite 2008's Rambo having a very definitive ending, him going home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Rambo 5.
Okay.
Working on it. And, God, why is modern John Rambo, he turned from a PTSD dude to a guy who just kills brown people?
Maybe that's how he deals with his PTSD.
Just going back to killing, well, then you think he'd go to Asia to kill some of the yellas. to keep it racist.
I mean, I don't know. He lately, it's been a lot of the Browns. I mean,
Browns ever since Rambo 3. It's been Browns.
Yeah, ever since Afghanistan.
Rambo 3, Browns. Afghanistan must have really fucked them up because he's like, I need to kill more Browns in Burma. Yeah. And now I'm going to be killing the Browns in Mexico because Rambo 5 has him going up against Mexican cartels.
Of course, because Mexican cartels are the devil.
And, okay, now I've been railing against the portrayal of Hispanics in media as solely drug dealers, cartels, and or maids, right? But I ain't gonna lie and say that Mexican cartels aren't a thing, and they're not a gigantic problem.
Yeah, they are a big thing and big problem.
They're turning entire vacation towns, vacation cities in Mexico into wastelands of yes. So I understand. It's not like I'm gonna be like, ooh, it's not a real thing. But still, does he have to make a movie? He had another idea for a movie where Rambo takes on a genetically modified monster. That was a real idea that he was working on. Before he made Rambo in Burma, one of his ideas was Rambo takes on a monster in the woods.
Chris. Rambo. Cloverfield.
Yeah, sure. Let's fold Rambo into the Cloverfield universe.
He can start killing monsters.
I'm into it.
Or Rambo v. Predator.
I'm into it.
AVPV Rambo.
I am.
Franchising this shit.
Because Rambo has turned into a mythical creature just as much as he started as such a real, groundable, amazing character.
Yeah.
And then really it was James Cameron who wrote the script for Rambo 2 that started fucking things up. Turned with this whole rah-rah America superhero. Shit.
Yeah.
We were all fucked up. Speaking of, there's this guy. There was a guy named Carlos Carvalho, V-A-L-H-O. I don't know. Seems like sort of Portuguese, maybe.
No idea.
He's a director of photography. One of his most popular movies that he actually worked on was won an Academy Award, The Forgotten Kingdom. 47 years old. Dead. Rest in peace, Carlos Carvalho. Working on another nature film. What was it, a nature film? He was working with nature. That's his thing. He was a guy who worked with nature a lot.
Okay.
And they needed him to work with some wildlife in Africa in a sanctuary at the Glen Africa Country Lodge.
And the wildlife ate him.
It didn't eat him.
Fucked him up bad. To death.
It was a giraffe, Drew.
Oh!
It was a giraffe.
Did he get trampled by a fucking long-necked horse?
When I clicked on it, I thought trampled or kicked. Dude, no.
I was about to say.
What's a giraffe's biggest asset?
Its head?
Its big-ass neck.
Yeah.
And
a giraffe neck
can weigh on average of 600 pounds.
Yeah, and they fight with those things.
They fight with those things. So they were filming a giraffe, a crew, and this giraffe was kind of enamored by the boom mic, and it was kind of chasing around the boom operator, but they thought it was more of a playful thing. So let's go ahead and film it. It's running around, it's being active. So the director of photography, he had the camera up to his face, he had the eyepiece up to his eye. Real quick, that giraffe just swung its neck around, boom, hit him in the head, knocked him out. He never woke up. They took him to a hospital, pronounced him dead hours later.
Mm.
So be careful out there, people working with nature. And they, you know, that's why one of the reasons why you really should be limiting, when you're making movies, limiting your interaction between animals and people, you know. Obviously, you want to talk about the care for the animals, and you don't want to hurt the animals. Even on Dave Bautista joked, I guess you can say, complained, I don't know, about how the maggots that they use on set for Blade Runner 2049 had more care and attention than he did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Just to use a couple of handful of grubs that they're on the table. The grubs have no agency. They're not. They have no souls.
What do you tell you? Yeah, but there is somebody there arguing legal bullshit on their behalf.
ASPCA on set. Be like, you treat those grubs with respect. Dave Bautista's like, God, just let me go take a break, eat some cheese. So be careful out there working with animals.
Man, that's be scary.
Don't die, yo. Oh, he was working on the TV movie Premium Nanny 2. So, poof, boy.
Oh, please. If I ever die on location of a movie, just do not write the name of the movie.
Don't
on
admit what movie it is. Died on a set of Premium Nanny. Yeah.
Oh.
All right, so guys, like I said at the beginning, here's when we start talking about Avengers stuff. So you don't want Avengers spoilers. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it. Peace out. CinemaCrespedisso@gmail.com. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Thanos commits suicide at the end. Are you still here? Why are you still here? I wasn't joking. Okay.
Thanos doesn't commit suicide.
So
it'd be kind of cool if he did, though. Like, after all that, he just sits down and just like whips out a gun and
like, I was actually going to throw a spoiler into another movie that we kind of.
That'd be fucking hilarious. Just
a snub nose.
Yeah,
just, the most human of weapons. Little snub nose 357. But he's so big, it's like a. They just falls over. Credits. The Russos were asked. They've been doing Q&As at colleges and podcasts and shit like that. So people are asking questions and they're answering them. So there's stuff out there. There's info.
Cool.
Someone asked him about the TV characters, the Marvel Netflix guys, the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. people, if they ever considered it. And yes, they did. They did sit down and they said when it was just the two of them and the two writers, they did sit in a room and kick around the idea. Can we work these people in? No. Is it possible at all? And obviously they came to the conclusion that we have 40 characters. We have enough.
We do not need any more.
We don't need to lay the groundwork to add TV characters.
Yeah, I mean, yes, it would be cool if, you know, like Punisher and Daredevil showed up and fucking helped Spider-Man or something, but...
It wouldn't.
Yeah.
The story they made up to, it wouldn't.
No, exactly.
There's no way. So.
And, I mean, I'm sure at this point in time with the way all of these Marvel movies are going, I'm sure some of these... quote unquote like Netflix series guys and whatnot, they'll probably get to the big screen soon enough.
Yeah. Eventually.
With different actors, new people.
They're gonna need to if they want to keep making two or three of these a year for the foreseeable future. And as long as they keep making minimum $150 million total $200 million North American, which is like the low end is what they're making more of that. They'll be fine. They're gonna keep making these fucking things. James Gunn was brought on to help with like dialogue and stuff for the Guardians of the Galaxy characters because they're featured pretty prominently.
Yeah,
it's practically Avengers meets Guardians of the Galaxy.
I mean,
with a little bit of a slide like Black Panther, Wakanda.
Yeah,
but the Guardians got a lot of play.
Yeah,
they got a lot of work. I mean, Groot and Rocket ran off with Thor.
I was about to say Thor. I mean, Thor probably got most.
Thor got a very
prominent, a lot of play in that this Avengers movie.
You think Avengers 4 ends with him using Stormbreaker just to cut off Thanos' arm? There's a lot of every movie has featured an arm being removed.
I mean, you are correct,
including Groot using his arm to make it.
Yeah,
could he just simply?
I mean, he
cut it off.
Could he? Yes.
Will
he? Could
will they? Will they go that
way? Well, I mean...
It seems so simple compared to...
But here's the thing. In all reality, the only reason why that thing even worked was because Thanos didn't know.
Because he was distracted because he left his body, right?
That and he didn't know that the thing even existed. You know, he thought he'd shut down...
Oh, the Stormbreaker.
Yeah.
He didn't know there was a weapon that was out there capable of piercing him and killing him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now he does. Whole different ballgame.
That's true. He's ready for Stormbreaker.
I mean, it's not like... I mean, yeah, the Infinity Gauntlet looks damaged, but it doesn't...
Nah, he can fix it.
It is not anywhere near unusable.
Yeah, it's still reusable.
Yeah.
It's damaged. His armor is burned. He's fine, though. Yeah. It's fine. So James Gunn had say into the dialogue and stuff, and even provided them with some musical options for character cues. What he didn't have a say in, apparently, was who lived and who died.
Yeah, that's okay. That's
including
fine.
Gamora.
That's fine.
All of that stuff. Yeah, but what I'm saying is, he did all the stuff with these characters.
Yeah,
and then the Russos were given the characters, and the Russos were like, "Oh,
by the way, we're killing off.
We're killing Gamora. We're doing this and we're doing that." And when they presented to Kevin Feige, he was never like, "Go run that by James Gunn."
No, he was like, that's cool.
Feige was like, "Do what you got to do. No. Do it. Great. Perfect. Do it." So probably came to a surprise to him when not some, but most. 99% of his characters
are dead.
Bit to dust. Or turned into dust. Yeah. Russo's confirmed another thing about Gamora. That scene where Thanos does the snap, now it's called.
The snap.
It's referred to as the snap. Mm-hmm. And he has that scene before he comes to and like uses the stones to zip himself back to Titan or wherever.
No.
Just to get away from Thor and his goddamn axe.
Yeah, yeah. The ethereal plane scene. With him and young Gamora.
Young Gamora asks, what did it cost you?
He said everything.
He admits that it was everything. That scene, I didn't notice this. There's kind of an orange glow to the scene. It is ethereal.
Probably inside the Soul Stone.
Inside, yes. They are 100% inside the Soul Stone, which is where Gamora is residing. She is in that Soul Stone.
Yeah, it's her soul.
Yeah. So she's in it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there you go. Way to bring Gamora back. She's in the stone. They gotta bring back all these characters anyway for the big fight at the end. Confirmed. They filmed scenes for... Anyway. Gamora's in this thing. Captain Marvel. Featured as a logo in the end credits scene.
Correct.
So they asked him, what was your consideration, Russo's, for how do you introduce Captain Marvel? Where do you put this? Do you show her? Do you just show the logo? What do you do? Blah, blah, blah. The Russo said, no, we want to save her reveal for Avengers 4. That's Joe Russo. Anthony Russo says, we also wanted to. It was very important to us. We wanted to commit to this ending very hard. We didn't want to go past the ending very much, meaning Thanos sitting down, smiling, cut the black. That's what they wanted. They wanted to end on that. But then, let me see. Okay, this quote. And then we considered not doing any tags.
Oh, that would have been so great.
For that reason. But then we thought maybe it was too brutal.
Oh, no, yeah. Do people, if there wasn't that glimmer of hope at the
that
end.
That people stayed for, yeah.
Yeah, that people stayed for. Yeah. Like, I'm not sure if anybody would go see Avengers 4.
Exactly. Like, what, I'm going to see the rest of the characters die now?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
He finishes saying everything's about trying to find balance.
I'm really surprised at how much A, it's affecting people. B, it's affecting people that I know. And C, how many people are not doing their homework on upcoming Marvel movies?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And they don't know.
Yeah, they don't
know. Or putting two and together the fact that Spider-Man Homecoming 2, which the title hasn't been announced yet, like Avengers 4, is scheduled to come out July 2019.
No, exactly.
Months after.
That's what I'm... Exactly. If you do a little bit of homework, but then find out who has sequels, hey, guess what? They can't die.
So we're going to find out what's going on with Ant-Man and the Wasp, where I think they confirmed it happens between Civil War and Infinity War.
Yeah.
So we'll see how they're going to market that in connection to Infinity War. But then they have Captain Marvel scheduled for February or March of next year.
Yeah.
And they have to advertise that as a 90s movie that it is. But will they confirm? How does it connect?
Well, I have a feeling they're going to lean on all of these.
Samuel Jackson?
I mean, like the Wasp and... But, so if that's in between Civil War, so that's... This is why the Wasp and Ant-Man weren't in the first half.
This is why Ant-Man's on house arrest.
Yeah. This is why Ant-Man's on house arrest, because...
Yeah. Blah, 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 blah. The real reason is because the Russo said... Kevin Feige said that they have great story ideas for them that kind of necessitated them not being involved in this Avengers movie. So whatever they have going on for this movie coming up and Avengers 4, the ideas they have for these characters, it meant that they had to be like, all right, we have to...
They can't be around.
We have to sideline them for this. Can't let them die in the snap.
Yeah.
So that they can do their cool things later. Mm-hmm. So what can they do with it? Oh, okay, well, rumors is... Rumors
what can they do? They can throw giant Pez dispensers at your puck ass.
Oh, yeah, no, that's going to be funny. I'm looking forward to that. Rumors is Hawkeye in Avengers 4 will be found in Japan, living as his side character Ronin, that type of thing. Much like how Captain America was sort of his nomad character here.
Yeah.
He's going to be sort of a Ronin type thing, which means what happened to his family? Did half his family disappear in the snap?
Probably. They probably all disappeared in the snap.
Is Linda Cardellini gone? No! She's so cute.
You'll never see her again.
Even in Scooby-Doo 3?
Yeah. I don't know. After CG Scrappy, that pretty much killed everything.
No one likes Scrappy-Doo. Why did they keep doing this? Since the 70s. No one
keep pushing
likes
Scrappy-Doo.
Scrappy-Doo. He sucks. Get a tag on that. There you go. Those are your Avengers stories there and all the stuff that's happening there. So, all right. We did not see Batsman Ninja.
Nope.
Better title.
Batman
Ninja.
A website told me I could rent it for $5.
Website lied to you. Internet lied.
And I would have.
That's it. Just throw away the internet. We're throwing it in the garbage. It's broken. No, not necessarily. I haven't saved. Hit save.
But the internet's gone, so who cares, Chris?
Internet's gone. Who cares? Bye-bye, interwebs. All right. That's it. It's the dinner hour, so I'm going to start making some food.
The dinnering hour.
It's the dinnering hour. It's yes. We passed the lunching hour, and now it's the dinnering hour. Before I get the supper later.
Yeah.
And then dessert. Actually, no, I didn't get dessert. Damn it. I did it on purpose. Now I'm disappointed.
You fucked up, Chris.
See, past me is proud of the fact I didn't get dessert, but present me,
is pissed off.
Who was future me then, is pissed off at past me now. Man, I could use some Gelente. Gelente gelato. Gelente? I combined them.
Gelente gelato?
Yo, I tried some of that Breyer. Yo, Scott, you listening? I tried some of that Breyer gelato. There's a reason why that shit you get double the amount of gelato for the same price as Salenti. There's a reason why. God damn it.
Not that good?
No! Christ, no! God! Bah! Might as well fucking just stick my head in a toilet. Call that ice cream. Are you kidding me?
I mean, is it at least smooth ice cream?
It's way too smooth. Okay. It's half syrup.
Oh.
It's not ice cream. Can they put gelato on the package? Is that illegal? Look at the... Scott! Look at the ingredients list on the Breyers, and then look at the ingredients list on the Talenti. Then you know why I'm paying the $5 per serving for the Talenti. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about.
What, that entire thing's one serving?
The whole thing?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
That's what you just said. You just said $5 for one serving.
No, I mean like, $5 for like the pint cup?
Exactly. You said one serving.
No, that's four servings.
That's only one serving?
That thing's, I think it's one serving for you, you motherfucker. You know it is. Don't lie.
It's usually two.
Don't lie.
It's usually two servings.
It's supposed to be four. But you're right, yeah, it's two. I try to make at least three.
No, I can't. It's always two.
Yo, that Breyer thing, though, it's like half corn syrup, man. Get the shit out of here with that.
I mean, frozen corn syrup's pretty good.
It's fine. But I want that good stuff. Give me that good stuff. Yeah. There's other ones, too, that are like even more expensive. You seen that Jenny's ice cream?
I don't think Jenny's ice cream is ice cream.
It's like, no, I'm thinking of a different one. There's one, I looked at that label, it's like, it's an ice cream for sure. It's like cream and aerated and all stuff. It's like $7.99 a pint.
What?
Yeah, it's gotta be delicious.
I mean, I've had some of the crazy ice creams that have been in Publix recently.
I tried
like
some of
the weird ones.
I tried some of them, yeah.
And like the High Road. The High Road ones are good.
High Road?
Yeah.
I haven't tried that one.
It's good.
High Road?
It's good.
Have you tried the Vice ones? Vice cream?
Yes.
I haven't tried those.
And,
not that good? Because those are still like $4.99 a thing.
Like
so not worth it. All right, good
for the price, it wasn't impressive. I mean, if I'm right now, if I'm paying that price, I'm going High Road.
Now, if you want cheap ice cream, Scott, if you want cheap ice cream, go down the aisle to the very end where they have all the cheap ice creams, the discount stuff.
Get the Mexican ice cream.
Mexican
ice cream's good.
Because they use real sugar
instead
of corn syrup. Mm. Go down to the very end where you have all the cheaper ice creams, the discount stuff, and they have now little like single cup servings of sundaes. And they have like the one that's caramel, one that's chocolate fudge, some kind of nuts.
Oh, I remember those.
Yeah, they got them.
Those little cups I used to get from the ice cream man.
They got them. They got them back. They're back, man.
Sweet.
And they're not that expensive. And also, they have.
I like the sense of pop.
If people are into this, they have Dippin' Dots. Did you know they have Dippin' Dots? Like singles, I guess they're single serving Dippin' Dots. Dippin' Dot cups, you can get them in the freezer section at your local grocer.
I always thought the Dippin' Dots were weird.
They are weird. Why do I need to refreeze my ice cream to make them into tiny balls?
I mean,
with that nitroglycerin or whatever they're using, liquid nitrogen.
I wish they still made bonbons.
They don't make bonbons anymore.
I haven't seen bonbons in forever, dude.
I guess not. I guess I haven't seen them either.
Yeah. I mean, you know the little tubs of the chocolate covered ice cream.
Yeah.
They were fucking delicious.
They were delicious.
My mom loved those things.
The stereotype was every woman loved them. Eat your bonbons and you watch your soaps.
It was great because that means they were always in the house.
Oh, you're lucky son of a bitch.
I got to eat them.
I ain't get that, man. I ain't get to eat bonbons like that.
Oh, dude, I would get high as fuck and read my mom's
bonbon stash. Get high as fuck.
I read my mom's bonbon stash.
Probably,
she'd be so pissed off at me.
No, of course she would.
And I just smile.
Probably a good thing bonbons aren't around now because, like, man.
Oh, yeah, they're good.
I gotta, like, I'm eating that gelato. I get, like, partway through. My God, I gotta stop. I always talking about get the diarrhea. And I'm standing up, walking back to the freezer, eating as I'm walking back to the freezer, getting my last spoonfuls in.
Making sure you get that diarrhea.
God, so good. It's worth it.
Every time it's worth it.
It's worth it. It doesn't happen every time. But it's worth it when it does. As I'm like, I'm thinking, man.
Oh, that ice cream was
I
awesome.
I can't wait to get some of that vanilla cinnamon. I have at least half a container left downstairs. I'm going to eat that for dessert tonight.
Oh.
I'm planning my next diarrhea. Thank God, Drew, we have the balls as a podcast to talk about shitting. Not enough podcasts out there.
Talk about
their bowel
dicks,
movements.
Farts, and shits.
Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. That is us. Yeah, we are providing that service. We are unique in the podcasting world.
Yep. Dicks fart.
Makes me so
go figure. Two dudes, one of them obese and bearded.
Mm-hmm. The other
talking
one
talking about dicks, farts, and penises.
Yes. Obviously, the other one underweight. But there's no stereotypes there for underweight.
No, there's not.
You're fortunate in that underweight isn't good either. But you're fortunate.
It's
there's
awful.
No.
It's
there's a lack.
It is very unhealthy.
Like stereotypes to go for and distance for the for the underweight.
Actually, I mean, dude, Enmore thought I was in shape.
Yeah, he's like, this guy can go running.
I'm like,
so you do look like the inverse negative of a Kenyan runner.
Yeah.
Standing next to a Kenyan runner, like, these guys look like they can run.
Yeah, I cannot run.
Can't do it.
Oh, what was that? I got the black lung.
I was gonna say something about it.
I got the super black lung.
Yeah, the black lung's bad.
No.
Be careful. Your mom will take care of it.
It's gonna kill me, Chris.
You're getting to the age where...
No, Chris, it's gonna kill me.
It stops being a joke and starts being real.
No, Chris, it's going... No. All joking aside, it's going to kill me.
It's gonna kill you. Okay, now I remember what I was gonna say. There are podcasts out there who are like... You have two headphones on. There are podcasts out there who are like... They're like, We're the show daring to talk about dicks and whatever. And yeah, look at this. See, I'm taking a picture of you. You also have a PFT Media shirt, which is pretty baller. Shows that like talk about.
Oh, these aren't my. Oh, I thought these were my Cinema Crest Producer
ones. They are,
ones.
Yeah.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they are. The other one. Other side.
No.
Oh, I thought they were. It was reflecting the yellow on your shirt.
I thought they were too.
I thought it was labeled. The podcasts that still do this are like we're pushing the envelope. We're saying things that no one else is saying.
There's no pushing of envelopes.
The envelope's been burnt years ago and turned to ashes. We smoked it.
I was about to say.
So when you talk about dicks and farts and shitting, you're just being crass and boring. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I do.
You know what I'm saying?
Because I'm crass and boring.
All right, there we go. You're more than boring. You have two headphones on. if you're listening to this, if you do a podcast or listening to this and you think we're talking about you, we're not. But if you feel guilty, you should. If it's a natural reflex, then yes, you should feel guilty about all this shit talk.
You're so vain.
You're so vain. You probably think this song's about Warren Beatty. Warren Beatty thought that song was about him.
Yep, he's so
to be
vain.
Told it. No, it's not about you.
Yep. He's that vain.
That's how vain he is.
Yep.
And he's like, well, God, well, then, does it mean it's about me then? Carly Simon, you really fucked a lot of dudes' heads.
That's hilarious.
That's pretty hilarious.
It's great.
It is great.
Almost as good as the end. Oh, dude.
Yeah.
Since we're just talking about random bullshit now at the end of this thing.
Yeah.
John, fucking Simon Time got on me today. He finished Far Cry 5. Remember how I was telling you about the ending of Far Cry 5?
Yeah.
He was so pissed off.
Yeah, it's a fucked up ending.
And I was just laughing the whole time. He was like, dude, what the fuck? Hang on, let me read. I can read it verbatim.
All right, yeah. Let's read Simon Time's text to close out the show. Simon Time's reaction to Far Cry 5.
He got with me on Facebook.
Ah, same thing. His message to you. Shout out to Simon Time. Listen to Simon Time trivia show. Drew, we finished the first round of the Tournament of Champions.
Oh, thank God. I can't wait. Seriously.
You only have 4 weeks left.
I'm almost thinking about tanking the next one just so I can get out of the fucking message group.
Yeah, but the prize is ridiculous. All the things that he's gathered to give away.
Damn it!
It's like a $500 worth of shit.
All right.
Like real stuff.
All right, so...
Including Universal Passes, which if you win them, I'm going with you.
Of course. You know, it started with John saying, just finished Far Cry 5. What the fuck? And my response, the ending is so good! He says, what? With three question marks. My response, it was all for nothing! Exclamation point. His response, LOL.
You liked it?
Question. My response, amazing! Three question marks. No, three exclamation points. Loved it. His response,
I was like, wait, he was right?
He's talking about the bad
leader.
Guy, the cult leader.
The cult leader,
So, spoiler for Far Cry 5, at the end...
Spoiler for Far Cry 5!
At the end, after you spend the entire game fighting this cult and killing them all and doing this whole thing, and you finally... You beat the final boss.
You beat the bad
and
guy.
You're getting ready to arrest him and take him to jail. Mm-hmm. Fucking nuclear bombs just explode everywhere. And it's all...
The bad guy sets them off.
Yeah, he sets them off. So it's all for naught. It's all for nothing. Fucking... You end up at the end in a bunker... handcuffed to a chair in a bunker with him, and now you're his new disciple. It's fucking hilarious. So yeah, he said, you liked it? I said, amazing. I loved it. He was like, wait,
he was right?
And I was like, yes. And now he's your quote-unquote father. LOL. Happy face. And that's the end of it.
He did not like that response.
He was
like, God damn it.
He was not happy with the ending of Far Cry. Dude, there's a very large portion of the population that is very angry with the ending of Far Cry 5.
That means they made a daring decision.
And
they made the right decision. Because they did something that made people talk and think about what they're doing.
And that is
half the reason why I like it so much. The other reason why I like it so much is because it's not a happy ending.
Sure.
And I love it when stories don't have happy endings. Because that is the American trope.
Yeah.
At the end, the good guy wins, the bad guy loses, and all is well in the world. At the end of this video game, a bunch of fucking nukes go off, and you're locked in a bunker with a psycho.
It flipped the trope. You got to the end expecting your happy ending, gave you a bad ending that you're going to get anyway, so it flipped the convention. Reminds me of the first time I played Bioshock. And you have, there's a voiceover person that's telling you what to do, and you're going around,
the whole time.
And you think, oh, okay, yeah.
I'm doing good. I'm doing what the voice is telling me to do. Therefore, that is the right thing to do.
This is the way video games are played.
Yeah.
3/4 of the way through the game, you find out, oh, voiceover guy's the bad guy. He's telling you to do all things just to help him. Now you're fucked. And now he's going to fuck you.
Uh-huh.
And then the rest of the game, voiceover guy, instead of giving you instructions, just taunting you.
Yeah.
I was like, man, this is amazing.
Exactly.
It's great. Blew my mind. It's so good because it did something different, and I feel like Far Cry 5 is trying to do something different.
Exactly.
And good for them.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Who's the
maker on that game? What's the studio?
Who's
trying to rival?
It's Ubisoft.
Oh, okay, yeah, they've been around forever.
Yeah.
They've been around forever.
When
they sold Halo, that franchise went to shit. No, that's Square Enix.
No,
it's Ubisoft.
No.
Yeah, Ubisoft had Halo. Or the Square Enix.
Bungie. It was Bungie.
Bungie sold it.
Yeah.
And then I went to shit.
Well, yeah, and so did Bungie. But Bungie turned into something else and did... No. Bungie went off to do Destiny.
Yeah, they made the Destiny games. And Destiny 2 is supposed to be more popular than the first one.
Everybody loves Destiny.
Yeah, just the Halo game mechanics amped up, which is what I wanted. Whereas Halo 5 became something else.
Yeah.
Rocket packs and all this shit.
Halo 3?
Halo 3 was a jam. Halo 2 was great, but Halo 3 was a jam.
Phantom Rockets Midship.
That was the best. If you don't know what Phantom Rockets is, you missed out. You missed out on a glorious time that we know as 2004.
My eyes were bleeding from not blinking for like 30 minutes at a time.
You couldn't blink, man.
Predator
style imperfections.
You're looking for an imperfection in the wall.
I should have been working on my Jesse Ventura then. We're fighting predators. Look at all the Phantom Midship.
You should have.
I'm currently governor of Minnesota, but now it's Phantom Midship Rocket.
Yep.
I'm in Mexico.
Phantom Rockets Midship.
Drew. That's the end of the show.
A PFT Media production.